cut the fool with Brother Sellers sometime about preaching his underwear message because it's brief. Well, I got one of them today for you, amen. Psalm 85, turn there. And I promise I won't keep you long, but I do have something I want to share with you today. I'm just going to read one verse. We're coming through our revival services, and God spoke to my heart, and there's some things in my life that I have changed because of those revival services. And again, I would just simply ask a question. Is it revival if we don't make some changes in our life? Has it done us any good? Well, the Lord spoke to my heart about doing some things. I want to read one verse to you that I know is familiar to you because we hear it probably every time we have revival services, either a message from it or at least a reference to it, and that is in Psalm 85, where our Bible says in verse number 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You're familiar with Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. You don't have to turn there, where our Bible tells us in the New Testament, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I notice when we hear that verse, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" We talk a lot about the first part of that verse, and rightfully so, because it has to do with revival. But my question was, why did these folks, and at least in this verse, why were they concerned about having revival? And then they answered their own statement, and they said this, "So that we, your people, can rejoice in thee." You don't have to look around very long or very hard to find out. That's one thing that is missing from our lives as Christians, is our rejoicing in the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about just for a few minutes this morning. You know me, and I'm not going to keep you long, but I do have something I want to share to you. Can I read something? This is a true story that was in the newspaper several years ago. And it says this, "Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One moment he was perched peacefully in his cage, and the next moment he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick up the phone. She had barely said hello when the floop, Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, opened the bag, and sure enough, there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned, you reckon? The bird was covered with dust and soot. She grabbed him, raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hair dryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had previously reported on the event called to check to see if the bird had survived. Well, the owner said, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits on his perch and stares." And I don't blame old Chippy, do you? That's one thing for a bird that's been sucked through a vacuum cleaner, dirtied, held under running water, and blasted with a hairdryer. I understand that. But what we don't understand sometimes is how God's people, though we are sucked in and blown over and washed up, how we can come and not rejoice in the Lord that has bought us. I brought a friend to church with me today. We've been talking about Friend Day. I introduced him to PJ, and PJ kind of laughed at him. But I brought a friend to church with me today that, listen, this guy, and I'll introduce him to you in a minute, this guy, I've never seen him frown. Not one time. Never. He gets knocked down more than any person I've ever seen in my life. And every time he gets knocked down, Brother Gene, he pops right back up. The Bible says a righteous man falleth 7 times and rises up again. Well, this guy is the epitome of rising up again. Listen, this guy can rejoice in the Lord, though everything is going wrong. Now, I'd like to introduce him to you. I got him back here because I didn't want him to create any disturbances. Hey, you ready? These guys want to meet you. Come on. This is my friend. Okay? Riley, you can have him when I get done. Amen. I know you want him. Listen, this is my friend. He gets knocked. Guys, can you see him? Attractive fella, isn't he? He gets knocked down frequently, Brother Bob. And every time he gets knocked down, he comes right back up. Listen, that's what I'm talking about, rejoicing in the Lord. I got to looking at my friend and I found out here's the reasons. Darren, pay attention. Here are the reasons why he gets up every time. He's got a hearty faction. He's got a happy face. Watch this. And he is highly filled. You know what? The Bible says, wilt thou not revive us again, that my people, that thy people will rejoice in thee? How many times have you been knocked down? Maybe this week. This guy gets up every time because he's got a good foundation. Where's your foundation at this morning? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because without Him, you can do nothing. Where's your happy face? Listen, get up here and lead singing sometime or preach and look at the faces out there staring back at you. I'm telling you what's the truth. It'll depress the tar out of you. Amen. Listen, we got some things that we can rejoice about in the Lord. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Listen, we got some things to rejoice about. This guy's highly filled. Maybe therein lies the problem. We come to church so empty that we don't have enough in us to be rejoicing because we've not been filled with the Spirit of God. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Four things quickly and I'm done. There's several times in a Christian's life that we are asked to rejoice. I want to share those with you, and I'll be done. Our first one is found in Luke chapter 6. If you want to follow with me, you help yourself, or if you just want to write them down and look at them later. Luke chapter 6, it's in the New Testament, obviously. Verse number 22, our Bible says this. Luke 6, 22. What are some times, Brother Earl, that God is requiring me to rejoice in Him? Luke 6, 22, our Bible says, blessed are ye, when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Verse 23, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. Number one, you know when some times are coming that we need to rejoice? It's when we're being persecuted. Listen, I know you know this story, but let me tell it to you again. For years, Christians have always suffered persecution. Some were burned at the stake. Some were killed for their, not for bad deeds, but just simply for believing and speaking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1998 or 99, I think it was 99, there was a young lady sitting in the library of her public school reading her Bible, as she had done for the past 2 years since she'd accepted Christ as her Savior. Every morning, she'd go into school, she'd go to the library, she'd sit down, and she'd read her Bible. This day was to be different. She heard some shots in the school ring out. She got under the table with a couple of her other friends. Somebody burst into the library, went over there to her, and said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said one word. Yes. Her name was Cassie Bernal. 17 years old. She had been saved 2 years. The guy, Eric Harris was his name, said, "Why?" And before she could answer, she was sent out into eternity by this crazy fellow. They had her memorial service. The preacher preached it. And 75 young people trusted Christ as their Savior that day. Because this girl knew what it was like to be persecuted. Listen, it doesn't happen much in this country, but 322 times every month a Christian loses their life. 772 acts of violence every month. to Christians around the world. We don't know much about that in this country, but who's to say that it's not headed our way? And when it gets here, we're going to have one or two options. We can hang our head in sorrow, or we can lift our head up and rejoice in the Lord. Not because we're going through persecution, but because of the one that we're going through persecution for, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. This girl said, yes. This girl said, I'll not back down. I know persecution's coming. And I'm just going to say, praise God. Number two is because of proving. Proving. Paul in Philippians said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Any idea where Paul is at when he's making this statement? He's not down at the church house having big fun. He's not in a fellowship hall eating fried chicken with his Baptist buddies. He is in prison. And he's in prison, and Epaphroditus has come to him and brought him a message, and he gets sick and almost dies, and Paul goes through all that. Yet in chapter number 3 of Philippians, the first verse said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And he got right back up. And he got right back up. You know, there's only one way to keep this guy down. That's to deflate him. That's to take the air out of him. You know what I see a lot? I see a lot of Christians that are deflated. I see teenagers in our Christian school that have no hope. They get knocked down, and they don't get back up. Number three, what about pain? This is probably the hardest one. First Peter, chapter number 4. I'll read it to you while you write it down and look it up later. First Peter, chapter 4. Our Bibles say this. Verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. What about pain? Miss Edna can tell you about pain. A lot of y'all could tell us about pain, couldn't you? You've been there. You've been knocked down by it. You've buried your spouse. You've buried a loved one. And you wasn't sure when you was going through it if you'd ever make it. And you got knocked over. But by the grace of God, you got back up. Peter said, don't think it's strange about the fiery trials that are trying you, that are pounding on you, that are knocking you down. What you got to do is get back up and rejoice in the Lord. 1978, a fellow went to the eye doctor for a normal eye exam. Checked his right eye, and the doctor said, man, your eye is wonderful. Checked his left eye and found a spot in there. And he said, I don't know what that is. I'm going to bring you back for some more tests. Brought him back for some more tests, and to make a real long story short, this man wound up in a hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, and the doctor, before he put him to sleep, said one or two things is going to happen. You're going to wake up, and you'll have a really sore eye, or you're going to wake up, and you're not going to have an eye. He said, I don't know till I get in there. He woke up, and the doctor had removed his left eye, gave him a little patch to put over it. And after about a week in the hospital, he walked out of the hospital with a patch on his left eye. And as he was going out the hospital, a mom and a little boy, he said, probably about 4 or 5 years old, was coming in. And the little boy, you know how little boys are, how little kids are. He said, look, Mom, a pirate. And you know how moms, shut up your mouth and come on in. We can't be talking about people like that. He said, I got to church the next Sunday, and everybody, all the kids were kind of looking at me strange. He said, after church, I went forward, and he said, one of my little buddies came up there and said, are you a pirate? And he said, well, I guess I am. He said, what's that on your eye? And he said, that's a patch. He said, I'll tell you what, why don't you just call me Patch the Pirate? The little boy run off, and he said, about 10 minutes, about 20 kids come flooding up to the front, all wanting to see Patch the Pirate. What turned out, or what started out as pain for Ron Hamilton, turned into one of the greatest children's ministries that have ever been founded, called Patch the Pirate. While he was going through that in the hospital, he said, I got home and I took my Bible and I laid it out on the table, all the cards and letters that people had sent me. And he said, I started working on a song. Maybe you've heard it. It goes something like this. God never moves without purpose or plan when trying a servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though his testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. And he knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. What about the pain that I'm going through, Brother Earl? I don't understand why I got to go through this. Listen, some days God's just going to have to stamp on our life. Explain it later. He's not going to explain it now. We have to trust him and know that he knows what's going on and know that he's going to lead us to the end. How many multiplied thousands of children have been ushered into the kingdom of God because one man was faithful while going through his pain? Last thing, and I'm done. This is the easy one. Jesus had gave the disciples in Luke chapter 6 an assignment to do, and they did that assignment great and came back and said, Lord, let us tell you what's going on. Demons and devils and angels, they do what we tell them. And Jesus said, you're rejoicing over the wrong thing. He said, here's what you need to be rejoicing in. That your name is written in heaven. That's what you need to be rejoicing in. Hey, Brother Earl, I can do that one. That one's easy. Well, if we find it so easy, why are our testimony services sometimes all you can hear is cricket legs rubbing together? Because nobody wants to get up and say, hey, I'll be glad to tell you. Once I don't know exactly what happened, but once I was blind and now I can see. Once I was lost and now I'm found. Once I was on my way to hell and now I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to rejoice in the fact that I've been born again. I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus has forgiven all my sins and I'll never have to answer for one of them. Can we not rejoice in the fact that Jesus paid it all? Sin had left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. Can I tell you this? And I'm done. How many times have I said that? I got one more. I got at least one more time. Amen. I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his precious blood so that your sins could be forgiven. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you're from. Jesus Christ loves you and he died on the cross that your sins could be forgiven. And you could go to heaven when you die. You don't get to heaven by being a member of a Baptist church. You don't get to heaven by being dunked in the baptismal tank. You don't get to heaven by putting your money in the offering plate. You don't get to heaven by being a member of anything other than the fact that Jesus Christ has saved you and cleansed you of your sin. That's how you get to heaven. That's the only way you get to heaven. And you're not going unless you go that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The family had sit down to have supper. Dad, mom, twin girls. Lord help them, amen. Twin girls. And the girls got to cutting up at the table. Daddy said, now you girls quit. We're at the table. Act like you got some sense. And they wouldn't stop. Wouldn't stop. Wouldn't stop. Wouldn't stop. Finally, Daddy slammed his hand down on the table. I said no more. Y'all excuse yourself, get to your room, you'll go to bed tonight without supper. The girls kind of got up and sniffled a little bit and headed on upstairs. About 5 minutes later, the girls sulking and sobbing in their room heard a voice downstairs. It was Mama. Mama said, girls, you can come on down. That's what mamas do, amen. What's up with that? Girls, y'all come on down. Come on down and eat your supper. Kind of looked around at each other and said, okay. So they started down the stairs and got to the table and sat down. And there's Mama getting ready to eat. And they were there and they looked over there and Daddy's place was empty. One of the girls said, Where's Daddy? Mama said, well, he's in his room. He's in his room. See, he's decided that he would pay your penalty so that you could come down here and eat your supper. And while you sit there and eat your supper, here's what I want you to think about. That your dad is paying your penalty for you. He'll not have supper tonight. And the only reason you're having it is because of what he's doing for you. Are you on your way to heaven? Are you willing to die with the salvation that you have right now? Brother Earl, I've been knocked down. Then get back up. Would you trust Jesus Christ today as your Savior? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Miss Lori's making her way to the piano, and Brother PJ's coming as well. We're going to have an invitation. And during that invitation, here's what I want you to think about. Number one, I'm here today, Brother Earl, and I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven.